in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall.
Oh yes, and once again it's time for another episode of our in our ongoing study of homegrown philosophical radicalism. As we like to say here on Become Vocal Local, freedom is popular and the American Revolution continues. Welcome to the Wednesday, October the 1st, or October 1, 2008 broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Coming to you live Monday through Friday right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are on the web at republicbroadcasting.org, freedomadvocates.org, and ozarksvoter.info. Log on to those sites and bookmark them today. My name is William Roberts, and again, I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. Although we're going to have to dig really deep to find that good news. If you can't remember the last time that you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you are indeed in the right place and at the right time to become vocal local. Now, on Tuesday, I closed out the broadcast with a discussion regarding the press. But as so often happens, the last few pages of my radio address had to go to the cutting room floor, as neither time nor the commercials will wait for any man. So that's a bummer for me, and it's a hardship for you. It's a recurring problem. It's live radio. And when the hour is gone, it's flat out gone, as it should be. So, however, I have some summary material, and often the summary material is the best part of the broadcast, that has been growing up here in my in-basket. It's like a stack, and I'll just go through a couple of tag ends. I'm going to go back and just close out what I had in mind yesterday on press so that we get the real full meaning of that. With time allowing, we'll go back into property and finish up a definition or two that I wanted to share with you. We can go into Galambos for a few minutes, go back to John Salmond, and as I say, it's just a stack of these tag ends, but all of these little tags come together. They all make part of this broadcast. So today, once again, we'll talk a little bit about publicity, meeting the press, property, some definitions. We'll take your calls and much more. And again, I do welcome your calls, your comments, and your questions as they relate to the topics we discuss here at 1-800-313-9443. So let's go into this little bit and take care of some of these tag-ins and look at publicity, meeting the press. Now, I finished out reading a rather lengthy quote from a fellow named Ben Bagdikian, B-A-G-D-I-K-I-A-N. And we needn't go into that again, but I'll just highlight a couple of items out of it, and where he said that if the press, vis-a-vis government, is a relationship of cops and robbers, then it's only human that the press decides that it is not the robber. So when we come on, when I come on the air and I'm advocating the abolition, for instance, of the two-party political system, I'm assuming the role that I'm not the robber and they are. Are you with me? It would be just as easy to argue the other side. Oh, well, we have to have parties. We have to have parties and factions, even though there's no support for it in any of our founding documents. So we take these roles, we assume these roles then, in the press, if you will. I guess I have to conclude myself in the press being on radio, but ordinarily I hold the press in considerable disdain, especially these days. But let's go into it a little bit further. Responsible newspapers see their role as participants in the process of citizen education. Isn't that what we're doing here today, every day? Now let's see. Do I hear music? I think we do. Coming up, we do have a break coming. We'll be right back right after this brief commercial intermission. Stay with us.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers. The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Now, as we were going into the break, I was talking about this concept, this responsible newspapers see their role as participants in the process of citizen education. Now, I think we have to make a distinguish between propaganda and education. And certainly today, most of what you get out of the regular newspapers, I think, would fall into the former category, propaganda versus education. And it's important from the standpoint of understanding what publicity is, what it was meant to be, and what a free press, the right to freedom of speech and in print, was really intended. It is not intended as a means by which you can lie, cheat, steal, and deceive people. That's a misconstruction of the intent of that amendment to our Constitution. But certainly, if a man wants to expose himself as a liar in front of all of the world, then, you know, all the approbation that is deserved should follow. And so it should be up to us to excoriate the press when they walk down that slippery slope and fall into propaganda as opposed to education or teaching or informing or simply just providing publicity of something. So as the press then has a role, they have several roles. One of them is, of course, is the reporter, and then at times the interpreter, the evaluator, and a critical observer of all of the various events and activities that touch the interests and the welfare of their readers, their listeners, their viewers, however you want to style it. And remember that yesterday I revealed that the material that I'm drawing heavily from, very heavily from here, came from a book called Storm Over the States, which was written by the North Carolina governor, Terry Sanford, in the mid-60s. And so some of this information is prescient. He's looking forward. He was predicting very much of what has happened. He was a mover and a shaker. And so some of what we're finding in his writings we see around us today, and some of the things that he cautioned against, some of the things he warned about, went on deaf ears, and we just walked into the traps that he was telling us about. Anyway, good book, interesting book, and I'm sharing part of it with you today. It's difficult to estimate the influence of newspapers, for it takes many forms, but their role in the educational process is substantial. As a consequence, their role in the processes, performance, and the temper of government is significant. I'll say that again. Their role in the processes, the performance, and the temper of government is significant. Our role here on the Republic Broadcasting Network in this week, where the Big B is being discovered, is to implore you and to beseech you that you get on the telephone and burn the wires up between your house and Washington and tell them not just no way, but no way at all. Are we interested in this bailout process, this corporate welfare scheme? And so these are some of the things that we do. And if you listened yesterday to the National Intel Report with John Stadtmiller and Robbie Noel and Robert Chapman, what they were doing was providing you all the information that you need to know to make up your mind as to whether you want the bailout or don't. And I think the argument is clear against it. But that's the role of the press, and that's what our responsibility is. And as I study this kind of writing, I learn more about what my responsibilities are as well. So they have, or so is contended, an accompanying responsibility. Remember, whenever we have a right to do something, the freedom of the press, then we have an accompanying responsibility that should and must be followed by accountability. And so then Bagdikian concludes, he says, succinctly, in most places, the political system adapts to the values of the communication system. So now we're growing a much deeper understanding here. When we talk about a controlled media, when we talk about the controlled media, they're actually shaping legislation. That goes back to our study of A.V. Dicey's work on public opinion and cross-cut currents of public opinion as they shape law and legislation. It's a big deal, folks. It was the writings of Thomas Paine that helped people get off dead center in the revolutionary period. And here he was, you know, with one of those crank-up type presses where they just actually press the block type right into the paper and leave that imprint and then go on with it. There was nothing really mechanical about it for a long time. It was just simple levers and Archimedes screw and that sort of stuff. Nonetheless, let's continue. There was an observer in Missouri at that time period. When asked what effect reapportionment would have in Missouri, he noted, well, it will certainly increase the power of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in state politics. What was he meaning by that? When you have more and more representatives look at the newspaper, and when they refer to the newspaper and point back to it and or list it in it, then more readers will come to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And the newspaper has a greater and greater role in state politics. Now, in those days, the television set was just coming into people's homes. Today, every house has a television except for mine, I think. So the impact then can be direct. At least one state official thinks, here's a quote, papers that do a good job act as a kind of instant intelligence for government. I thought that was very interesting. Instant intelligence for government. Officials find out more about what is going on through government by reading the newspapers than through their own internal organizations. So when the press is bad, there is a breakdown of communications within the state itself, and their muscles slacken. Going back and looking at that important sentence, officials find out more about what is going on through government by reading the newspapers than through their own internal organizations. Now, that could be a truth at the local level as much as it is a truth at the national level, at the federal level. If your congressman is getting his news by watching the TV diligently for a couple of minutes in the morning or a couple of minutes at lunch or something or throughout the day, then he's getting the same propaganda. He's getting the same spin. And so he believes what he's doing is right. Why? Because he's being supported by this five-headed beast called the controlled media system, Sumner, Redstone, and others included. So, important. On the other hand, a newspaper can have an enormous negative effect. In some cases, a particular newspaper can have a demoralizing effect on state government. It can have a demoralizing effect on many people. It can have a demoralizing effect and a negative effect wherever it's misapplied. Sometimes the lick and stick comes out, and in that case, the lick and stick should be applied and applied diligently. You know, we don't get that much investigative reporting around anymore, but the lick and stick in the newspaper is a good way of shaming the representatives into their proper role. And so it's one of those places. It can have an enormous negative effect. Look at the, if you will, and just walk with me on this one for a moment, look at the enormous negative effect that the campaign against the Trans-Texas Corridor has had. It's had a negative effect because the globalist plans are on the ropes. So it's good for some, it's negative for others. Positive one side, negative to the other side. So we need to know which side of these various parties and factions we line up on and use our media effectively to the most possible effect. Continuing, many state officials said that they feared personal and vindictive editorial reprisal in the front page if they took public exception of one of the paper's policies. And so understanding that from 40 years of experience and growing and growing and growing emphasis and influence, we can see why the politicians don't ever cross any of the party lines. They don't cross any of these programs publicly because they fear this vindiction, the vindictive editorial reprisal. They fear the front page. They would rather go unnoticed so that their job is not imperiled. They feel that the paper has created an emotionally charged reactionary atmosphere where new ideas are frequently not only rejected, but fail to appear in print for public discussion. So one of the reasons why we don't see things like the big B bailout, you know, in your local newspaper, is because the politicians and the people, the local elected officials, don't want to have this atmosphere, this reactionary atmosphere, where a good, thorough, honest airing and public debate, the hanging up of the public laundry, if you will, they don't want to live in that kind of an atmosphere or environment, and so they work really strongly with your local publishers to make sure there's no honest media reporting, especially on important decisions. We talk about getting on the telephone and calling your congressman. Have you thought about calling up your local county committee man and county committee woman and putting the heat on them? They haven't heard from their constituents in a long time. Perhaps that would be a good local call to place as well. Hey, we elected you to be our county committeeman for our precinct. What are you doing? What actions do you know? What have you heard? Is this going to fly or is it not? Let them know that the party system starts all the way at the bottom for all of us. And maybe we would start to see a little bit of a ripple of effect in that regard. Now, continuing, he says, yet one cannot expect the press always to be constructive or to suggest better alternatives. Certainly, it does have the responsibility to design the reform of state government. One television commentator said, I can tell when an egg is bad, but I can't lay one. It's important also that newspapers never become the apologist for or the captives of any government. All of these words, this stuff was written 40 years ago, folks, and it's on us and at us today. Let's go back and say again, one cannot expect the press to always be constructive or to suggest better alternatives. Why not? Certainly, if the American Free Press can publish articles about the value of Norquist's Liberty Dollar, we might be able to expect some of that in your own local newspaper, perhaps on your television broadcast. Why can't we discuss both sides of issues? I think that's important that we do that. Okay, we're coming up on a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Listener, ask yourself, can I be deceived? Matthew 24 states four times in the last days that many will be deceived. There are many ideas about the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. What do you know about the beast, its mark, and the Antichrist? Is the beast a superpower nation or a giant computer in Belgium? Is its mark a chip implant, a tattoo, the national ID card, or 666? Is the Antichrist a person, title, or both? Is the beast and the Antichrist one and the same? Some believe all this is yet future. Others believe that it is in the past. 1 John states that the Antichrist is already in the world. What is the truth and what is a lie? Are you willing to search God's Word for the truth? Friends, all these answers are in the Bible. For free books, DVDs, and Bible studies exposing the Antichrist, the beast, and its mark, write The Bible Says, Box 99, North City, Tennessee, 37771, or call 1-888-211-1715, 1-888-211-1715. Please remember to mention you are from RBN.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Now be honest, is your sex drive what it used to be? Don't ignore the warning signs. Prostate problems begin around age 40, and by 60, one out of every two men will have these symptoms, and they do not go away. Take Superbeta Prostate. It has 3,000 times more concentration of the key ingredient in saw palmetto. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same health benefits of one Superbeta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate the nutrition it needs. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848. With Super Beta Prostate, you get results or you get your money back. Or log on to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click onto the Super Beta Prostate banner to learn more about the product.
The stock market is crazy. The chemtrails are spraying us with their chemicals. It's time to think about what is important. Most forget just how important life is. Life Change Tea removes toxins, chemicals, parasites, and bacteria that store up in your body. It cleanses you and gives you results in hours. And one of the wonderful side effects from this product is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. And on top of that, there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. So why wait? Call now. Operators are standing by. 928-308-0408. I'll say it again. 928-308-0408. Or order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, stock market may crash, but you don't have to go with it.
And if you'd like to be part of today's broadcast, you're always welcome to call in at 1-800-313-9443. Maybe you've got some ideas or information you'd like to share in regards to the value of the press, the rights and the wrongs of it, and I'd love to hear from you. Going into this a little bit deeper, you know, we can just almost rotate round and round on these some of these paragraphs because they're just so pregnant with information that it's important to think about. Again, he says, one cannot expect the press to always be constructive or to suggest better alternatives. And here on Become Vocal Local, that's one of the things I'm always, you know, just racking my mind on, are what would be solutions? What are the solutions to these various and sundry problems that we face and always when we're dealing with political problems, and we certainly are, there's no political will in Congress to remedy the problems that are plaguing us. There's virtually no political will in the state legislatures either, and we need to alter that. We can alter that. The only way, in my mind, that you can effectively alter that is to replace the actors, and the best and fastest way to replace those actors and get them to be accountable is to become those actors, unfortunately. That means we have to energize inside of this established two-party political system with the goal of gaining a majority position and bringing a voice of reason to it, and re-examining and re-evaluating whether or not we want to persist and continue with this divided nation, this house divided, using political parties to pit one half of the population against the other. I think it would be far better, preferable, to go back to the system of constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government and just bypass parties altogether. And I'm convicted of that in my spirit, because that, to me, is a house that's unified. And in that position, we can work from strength. We can honestly, openly, and accurately debate the issues without bringing in parties and factions and mediators and intermediaries. Anyway, so constructive, to be constructive and to suggest better alternatives then is important. Now, having criticized the press, let us in honesty now say that the state government has become less interesting to most people than the space race, the Cold War, sports, movies, stars, air crashes, etc., Congress, and hallucinogenic drugs. Now, this again was written back in the 60s, and it was as accurate and as timely and as poignant then as it is today. Having utilized the press to create all of these various and sundry diversions, the activities of government, now there is a specific channel, I've heard it mentioned on several times, it's C-SPAN. How's that for memory, having never seen the thing? But C-SPAN apparently is a place where you can go and watch the action of government and pay attention on that level. But other than the things that, and I don't know what I'm talking about here, but I'll just say it, the things that crawl across the bottom of the screen. If I saw something crawling on the bottom of my screen, I'd get a fly swatter and take care of it. But nevertheless, there are various and sundry opportunities where the media can present the news as it's happening. But if we present the news as the biggest issue, if we present the doings of government and the doings of big business as the primary issue, and let all of the diversions, all the situation comedies, and the various and sundry things that I've seen in snippet as I cross the room and switch televisions off all across America, when that happens, if we could get away from that and quit looking at it as entertainment so much and look at it as information, well, maybe that's why the Internet is so popular. Millions and millions of people come to the Internet because we don't have that distraction going on all the time. So there is benefit. There is something happening, and we need to make more of it. Let's go into it then a little deeper with this diversionary, all of the diversions that are out there. The government, the state government, has become less interesting to most people. Now, we hear most about what happens in the federal government, removing to state government kind of a subsidiary role, and then what happens in your local government, only if you have a quality local reporting system will you hear what's actually happening on the local level. I know here in Southwest Missouri, the newspapers focus on the local issues to the exclusion of the national issues. One would scarce know that we had a financial crisis if you looked at the newspapers that are published around here. It's all just laudatory stuff about what's happening with the Rotary and the Lions and the Elks and the local Mason outfit and the local churches, the obituaries, what taxes or what new program is being introduced and those sorts of things. Maybe something from the extension agent as to how to collect walnuts at this time of year or something. And you wouldn't know that you were part of the United States of America or the world unless you went to other sources, local newspaper being what they are. So that's an interesting aspect as well. So state government then activities are full of human interest and drama, but state government is not going to be well presented in the press unless it finds a more exciting way to present its activities. And so by going back in and understanding what publicity is all about then, going back to Francois Guizot in the 1700s and the idea of what is a representative government, there are three primary criteria that need to exist for representative governments to function. One is a clearly defined separation of powers. Two is the opportunity to vote, an honest and fair open hand count paper ballot. And three, it's publicity. Publicity is not entertainments. Publicity is the bills and the laws opened out in front of the people for their consideration. We'll be back right after this bottom of the hour intermission.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Each client
has a unique situation.
Each client is first and foremost
an individual.
Each client with Onesti Investment Advisors has a different set of goals,
time frames,
risk tolerance,
and needs.
But the philosophy at Onesti Investment Advisors always remains the same.
One,
the preservation of capital.
Two,
consistent profitability. And
three,
the pursuit of superior returns.
In that order.
CFP certificate, John Onesti has over 14 years in the financial services industry and understands the complexities of today's markets. At Onesti Investment Advisors, we have no conflicts of interest, so we look out for you, our client. The better you do,
the better we do.
To learn more about our products and services, call Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Visit us online at onestiadvisors.com or
click on our banner ad on the RBN website.
Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
There we go.
Hi, folks. Ronnie McMullen here, host of The Prophetic Watch. As a radio host, many products cross my desk every week. Few products are truly worth endorsing because they don't work or there is some kind of catch or gimmick. Dr. Miller's Life Change Tea does exactly what it says. It cleans your body of chemicals, toxins, and parasites, and the effect is you lose weight. That's right, you lose weight. I wouldn't put my name behind this product if it didn't work. Here's how you order. Online, getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us, 928-308-0408. That's area code 928-308-0408. Finally, a natural prior you won't be disappointed in. Getthetea.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Okay, and we're back once again. So this idea of publicity then becomes really, 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 really valuable and important if we understand it, if it were used properly. One of the best examples I think that we have in our arsenal for defense of these positions are the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist papers. Here are two enormous volumes of critical and supportive debate arrayed on two sides of an issue. These are parties and factions, the way that our founders envisioned them to work, where when we have something that comes up like this great bailout, that we don't just rush to Congress and pass a multiple billion-dollar scam like this without the opportunity for considerable publicity so that we can discuss both sides of this issue, so that we can come in a deliberative assembly and discuss all of the fine points and the details and come to a decision as to whether or not this is something to do or it's not something to do. That's what publicity is intended to, the role that it's intended to fill in our system of representative government. And we're denied that. We're denied that in this hasty, wasty, you know, people that rush in, like they say, fools rush in, and then they're always regretting the mistakes that they've made. And so the idea and the concept of publicity is huge, and it's missing, it's absent. We don't have that deliberative assembly, that ripe discussion of issues. You know, there might be something to parts of the discussion that have merit. I don't know. I haven't read the material. But we don't have that opportunity. We rush into things. We rush to war. We rush into this and we rush into that. So publicity is important. News and propaganda, that's questionable. So one question then remains, what responsibility does the press have to support reform in state government? Now, again, as I said yesterday and I repeat today, I like this book that Terry Sanford wrote. I've had it for almost 30 years. I had it in my possession for nearly 20 years before I ever read it. But I really like this book. I don't like where he was going in some of the things that he was trying to do. He opened the door to lots of programs and reforms and progressive action that I would oppose, many forms of socialist action. But he was very right when he said that we need to look to the states and to put the power back in the hands of the states and take it out of the hands of the federal government, that local action is the better place to begin these various discussions than just to have it forced down our throat by the international community through the lapdogs in Washington. And continuing, the question is then, what responsibility does the press have to support reform? And you might say to openly debate it in state government. Effective support would require reporting fully and perceptively the actions, the difficulties, and the problems of state government. And I'm in complete agreement with Mr. Sanford there. This is exactly the point. Effective support would require reporting fully and perceptively the actions, the difficulties, and the problems of state government. It would require newspapers to draw comprehensive pictures of the needs and shortages, demands and decisions, the stumbling blocks, and the assets that are part of any government. That's what publicity is all about. And we talk a lot about wants. Well, what do you want? And then what he accurately uses the proper term, he talks about needs. There is a difference, a huge difference between needs and wants. There are those things that a man needs in his life, and then there are the myriad things that he wants. And unfortunately, in this mommy state socialist, now fascistic, corporatist fascist government that we have, we have to ask whose needs and whose wants are being fulfilled here. But it's always going back to government to fulfill those. Continuing. At the same time, they would have to do the much harder job of reporting what is not happening. And I agree with that completely. It's so much harder for media to come in and say, hey, you know, this thing is slipping through the gap here. Why? You know, all these billions and billions to the bankers and all of this debt and more debt to the people. Why is this stuff slipping through the cracks? These things are not happening and they need to be happening. Continuing, newspapers would have to point out the ills which beset the states. Amen to that. Now he says, this is one that I don't like, the antiquated constitutions. I cannot agree with that. They are old constitutions, but they're not antiquated. Every constitution in this nation, the federal and the state, has provisions for updating it through an amendment process. These are not antiquated. This is our personal property. This is our real property. This is a cherished property, and we need to defend it with every fiber of our being. I don't consider these to be antiquated documents. I consider them to be brilliant beginnings of what could be a much greater scheme if we were to go and continue to follow them and to live by them and to add to them not for transient or light purposes, but only when they really seriously need to be updated. Then he says, the difficult tax structures. Boy, isn't that the truth. The diffusion of executive authority. You understand the idea of diffusion? When you have a fluorescent light fixture that you put in on your ceiling, then the next thing that is often added, except out in your shop where you really want the brightest and most intense light possible, then you put in a grill. And that grill breaks up the light and it scatters it around the room and it softens it at the same time. But the light that reaches all parts of the room has less intensity than the original bulbs. That's called diffusing. When we talk about diffusing education, it scatters the education all over the whole country, true enough. but something gets lost in the translation. It's no longer as brilliant as it was before. And so here in this clause, he says the diffusion of executive authority. That's one of the biggest problems that we have, folks. We have how many millions of people that work for the executive branch of government? Never was it intended to go to that extreme. But that's that diffusion of executive authority. Jorge is given the keys to the executive washroom, told where the gymnasium is and where the swimming pool is, and the keys to the car and so on and so forth. And then the rest of this huge body of aides and administrative agencies, they run the government from behind the scenes. And he just, you know, he's wheeled out in front of the teleprompter when it's convenient. All the other handicaps to progressive state action. I'd like to make those handicaps out of iron grates and grills. Progressive state action is something you need to be very careful of when you choose to use that kind of terminology. Who in some 40 states or more can say he begins to understand state government by what he reads in the newspapers? There's about 10,000 pounds of truth in that one sentence, that one question. Who in some 40 or more states can say that he begins to understand state government by what he reads in the newspapers? So we have to become super sleuths. We ask that we then become the watchers, if you will, watching our government. We have to be ever vigilant. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. This is part of our responsibility as citizens in this country. And I think we let that slide. I don't even do as good a job on that as I'd like to, and I'm very conscious of the concept. In any event, where the newspapers do prod, the people usually insist on improvement. There's a question that this is a kind of commenter that hurts, I think, his credibility as an author here. But again, he is a man speaking from experience. He's a North Carolina governor, and when he was serving in office, he started a lot of things that have had up and down results. Nevertheless, he's on the inside of this process. He's inside track. He had Carnegie Foundation funding. He had Ford Foundation funding. So I read this book with care because he was telling us stuff in here between the lines that you might not get in a more popular book elsewhere. So again, the people usually insist on improvement. Which people? Who's being represented? Are the parties the ones that are insisting on improvement? Are the people insisting on improvement because they've been propagandized so heavily by the media? Good questions, huh? So newspapers, he continues, can create public interest to stimulate public action. Once again, we just jump right back into Dicey's work. A.V. Dicey, very important jurist, very important professor of jurisprudence, if you will, in the study of law. He understood the power of public opinion and cross currents of public opinion as they shape law and legislation. And so newspapers can create public interest to stimulate public action when they feel they have a public responsibility, point by point by point. The newspapers are absolutely critically involved in this process of governing and governance. There is much the lapdogs of the globalist agenda as they are could possibly be the vanguards of our liberty. How do you choose? And so perhaps we have more things to do with the publishers and the editors of our newspapers instead of just focusing our attention on the legislators and trying to make appointments with them and getting our word across. Perhaps it's not so much a letter to the editor that needs to be posted, but it's a visit to the editor to find out why they're going down this road. Anyway, ideas. Does the crumbling of the federal system seem as important to them as the crumbling of the downtown shopping areas where their advertisers trade? Key phrase there, where their advertisers trade. Everybody knows on which side of the slice of bread they get, you know, they place their butter. And so if we have local newspapers, you know, there's so few of them that are not controlled anymore. There's so few of them that are independent and outside of these great cartels. that it's hard. You have to do serious research to find out whether your local newspaper is being controlled from outside influences. But certainly one of the influences is going to be the advertisers that advertise in that newspaper. And of course, we've talked about the Chamber of Commerce before, and how that influence comes in. We've talked about the university extension programs and where the change agents come from. So a lot of times the newspaper is basically, we could conceive that they're held hostage. They're held hostage by the town. They're held hostage by the townsmen and the merchants. They're held hostage by the local politicians. They're held hostage by their advertisers, and all of this pluralistic, all of the organizations that they need to deal with on a regular basis, so they go along to get along. Maybe we need more small-town newspapers as well as low-power AM and FM stations all across this nation, so that we can really go back into the land of publicity as opposed to propaganda, wouldn't you say? All right. Is urging the reform and the revitalization of state government a newspaper's duty? Or can they be content as objective observers, simply to chronicle its demise? That phrase is really important to me, simply to chronicle its demise. That's why I try and stay away from symptomology and victimology. Symptomology and victimology. There are so many other people to do a better job and don't dedicate their whole time to digging through all of the various wire services and stuff and bringing out the news and analyzing it, that I don't focus on that here on this broadcast. Very rarely will I bring up the news. You know what it is. It's happening right where you are. But I look at the victimology and symptomology as basically chronicling the demise of our states, our towns, and our nation, and the whole planet, really. It's like some kind of a morbid fascination with the death throes of an animal. You know, you come across a deer or something with a broken leg, you know, you send the boy back to the house, get me my rifle. Put this deer down. You know, I'm not going to stand here and watch it struggle like this. It's insanity. And I look at the same way when I look at my local community and our state government, our federal government. You know, it's time to put this stupid beast down. It's in pain. It's in agony. It's writhing. And we need to throw off this shackle of tyranny and come back with something new, breathe new life into this system. And I think and I know that we can if we get busy on the local level. Continuing, he says, there was a newsman whose beat was in Washington, and he stated this: that is not the newspaper's job. That is not just another problem for the state. So what he was trying to say there is it's not the newsman's job to chronicle his demise. It's not his job to talk about the reform and revitalization of state government. So this is kind of like an unusual sentence in this, and I included it in today's text simply because it produces this idea of cognitive dissonance. There's two different sides of these coins, but this guy, probably should have quit his job as a newspaper man when he started to express the sentiment that the revitalization of state government isn't a discussion of it is not a newspaper's duty. That was kind of like the beginning of the slippery slope. The end of the investigative reporting. Here's another fellow, Norman Isaacs, I-S-A-A-C-S, executive editor of the Louisville Courier-Journal, a paper that for years had reported competently on government in two states, wrote after a conference, part of the problem, he said, is technical, for governors seem not to give their press relations much thought. I can just stop right there. He says, part of the problem is technical, for governors seem not to give their press relations much thought. I don't know about where you are, but we have a little, I get it for free. That's why I say I don't subscribe to it. It's called the Berry County Advertiser. It's supported entirely by advertisements. There's no subscription fee. It comes to my post box whether I say I want it or I don't. Of course, they don't have to put it in there, but I accept it, and then I look at it. But each week, there is a blurb from Matt Blunt, the governor of Missouri. There's usually a blurb of some sort or another from Roy Blunt, his father, who is our congressman. And then there's oft times another blurb in there from Kit where do these guys get their names? Matt, Roy, Kit. These are our highest, you know, men. Whatever happened to Michael and Thomas and John and Peter? Anyway, quite often on a weekly basis, there will be about maybe 200 or 300 word article put in. But this stuff is so milquetoast and plain Jane that it just, you know, makes you want to tear your hair out to read it. And it's always in support of the local or the current global paradigm, the current global agenda, the new program. And it's frustrating because never does the newspaper take it on. Never does the newspaper, excoriate the stuff. Never does it challenge it. So, and back to our comment here. Well, we have a break. We'll take the break, and right after the break, we will be back. Stay with us.
Pain. It's a warning signal to the body, the same as that warning buzzer is to your car. They both are signals that you have trouble that needs attention. Cutting the wire to the warning sound sure doesn't fix the problem of the car, and taking a pill to numb the brain to kill the pain sure doesn't fix the problem of the body either. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time, try Lee's Fountain of Youth. Be clean, healthy, happy, and young. Call 740-783-0021 today. The Lord didn't make the body to have pain. That is just a warning signal to get your attention that the body has a problem and you need to fix it, not take a pill to numb the brain. Lee's Fountain of Youth works with Mother Nature to clean the body and jumpstart your circulation to heal your cells. The Fountain of Youth is the only thing in the world with the same universal electrical energy as the body, and just 2 hours in the fountain will pull the heavy metal toxins out. Visit leesfountainofyouth.com or call to ask about your free visit to Lee's Fountain of Youth, 740-783-0021. That's 740-783-0021.
Question. Is the world getting better or vastly worse? A world economic collapse could come any day. Question. Are you prepared or are you ignoring the signs? Question. Do you have 7 years of healthy food for your family? Answer. Go to survivalistseeds.com now. 12,000 seeds giving you 5,000 pounds of food for just 4 pennies a pound. Without a long-term food solution, your choices are limited. Visit survivalistseeds.com and check out our doomsday water filter system. Without water, you die. It's all online at survivalistseeds.com. Are you prepared? That's survivalistseeds.com. Go to survivalistseeds.com. Do it now or become property of the New World Order.
HempUSA.org is now offering free shipping worldwide to better serve our customers. Our goal is to get these fine hemp products to you in the least amount of time so you can enjoy what the powder seeds and oil can do for you. HempUSA.org has a warning that the U.S. food supplies are dangerously low, and we urge you to protect your family with hemp storable foods today. Tomorrow may be too late. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. This incredible food source is loaded with enzymes so your body can digest the food you eat. And it creates an alkaline environment where cancer can't grow and parasites cannot live, and brings funguses, viruses, and bacterial levels down and to a halt. Try our powder seeds and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. If the body has the proper nutrition, it will heal itself. Ask yourself, why does our government not allow this crop to grow in the U.S.? This product is also great for pets and animals. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
So here we go. Going back again to this comment by Norman Isaacs, the editor of the Louisville Courier Journal, he was responding to a letter that was written to him by Terry Sanford, the author of this book, Storm Over the States, after a conference that they'd had where they met with the various journalists and stuff like that, trying to find answers to these difficult questions. And so this credible, apparently, editor had thought about it, pondered over it, and finally responded in a letter. And he says, but the overall problem that you posed of how to make state governments exciting and interesting enough for the press to cover fully and intelligently continues to haunt me. So he was as perplexed with this question as I am. I agree with you that a key factor is the personality of a governor, but it isn't enough to pin the entire responsibility on any chief executive. In other words, it's not the place for the newspapers to always keep hanging the blame around the legislators or the executives or the local officials' necks. Here's what he said. He says, the problem of government is with us, the press, regardless of the man who holds a top office. Very important. Very important. I think he's absolutely right. The problem does fall fully upon the press. It's the press's responsibility. If they were given a right to have the freedom of the press, they have the concurrent duty of being the publicity for the people in all of these issues. And when they allow themselves to be distracted by advertisements and their desire, remember we started out, we have to make up a decision as to whether or not we are an educator or a businessman. When the newspaper has to go away from being the educator and become a businessman, then we start walking further and further away from the truth and more towards propaganda. We're being fed pablum, the pablum that sells the newspaper, the pablum that sells the television time. You know, the big sports are indicative of that, how much money is spent on television sports, even local sports. So anyway, here's another one. Another newsman said, publishers have a responsibility to the public to do more. Call it public service if you will. Sure, state governments don't have the glamour, but the press has the responsibility to enlighten and to serve. To enlighten and to serve. How can we get that message out to our local media? How can we get that message out to our local TV stations? They have the responsibility to enlighten and to serve. It's not just the glamour. It's not just the entertainment value. They actually have a responsibility. They have a very important role. And if they allow themselves to be dialogued into the consensus of globalism, when they allow themselves to become part of that coercivist society that we spoke about yesterday, when they allow themselves to go in there, then we have to ask ourselves the question, if we had the political will in Congress, we could then begin to pull these licenses, the licenses for, through the FCC of the various television broadcasting networks that refuse to enlighten. Well, I can see that we've come to the end of the broadcast once again. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local, taking it back, one precinct, one county, and one state at a time. This is William Roberts. Thank you for listening, and until the next time, good day.
Gold has been.